going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We started the show talking about the Mets being the story in town right now. They are red hot to start the year. 11-1 at home, 6 games in a row that they have won. Doing it now against the division rival Philadelphia Phillies, the reigning NL East champs. The Mets are setting a nice tone early on in this season that they are for real.
You've always talked about sustained success, and that's what you and the other Met fans have craved. I mean, you've gotten a couple of one-offs here. Not a World Series, but a couple of one-offs where you're like, okay, this could be the year, and then for whatever reason, things would take a quick turn the other way. And the expectation is for it to be different this year. And it looks really different because last year was the planting of the foundation. Now you throw a little furniture around the crib. And now the Mets, I think certainly the fans, are beginning to think that it's not a one-off. Certainly, I know that they think that. You get somebody like Soto who hasn't really done anything yet. But you look at the other players, whether it's Lindor, whether it's Pete, whether it's the staff, whether it's the defense, whether it's the ancillary pieces like a Taylor last night making that beautiful double play. And you know, nailing Schwarber at first base. Players are locked in, and the Mets look better than I thought. I thought they'd be good. I did not think they'd be the best team in the division. Right now, they clearly are. And I know it's early, so I'm not exactly, you know, raising the flag and making this some bold prediction, whatever. But if the Phillies aren't careful, Mets could bury them.
Yeah, I'm not going to put an end to the NL East just yet, but I do think that early season series can set the tone. Right now, the Phillies are running into a buzzsaw. Mets are letting them know. Whereas coming into the season, the thought was, oh, the Phillies, the Braves are going to be better than the Mets. That perception has certainly changed even in just 24 games right now, even more specifically going head-to-head with the Phillies. And I don't care what the final score said the other night. You know, Mets smoked the Phillies.
Except for the home run, the cosmetic home run.
Yeah, exactly. Mets handled the Phillies with ease. Their starting pitching has shut down the Phillies lineup. And the Mets are just a machine, specifically at home, but they have been off to a great start. 10 games over .500. That's something you're usually chasing throughout the course of the summer, or at least early spring, and the Mets are there already right now.
Am I misremembering? So, obviously, of course, the Mets beat the Phillies in the playoffs last year, advanced loss to the Dodgers, but the series before the playoffs, we went to one of those games.
It was against the Phillies.
You know, it was me, you, and Hoff, but that's the only game they lost, right? Didn't they win 3 out of 4 that weekend?
I believe that they did, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's not just like a little recent teeny-weeny snapshot, like, if you start to piece things together, Mets have been flexing on the Phillies for a minute here.
Yeah, and honestly, and I know it's just because these two teams, that's a part of it, but it reminds me of the way that it was in 07, where the Mets, remember, 2006, the Mets were the team to beat in the National League. Obviously, they got beat by the Cardinals, whatever, but they ran away with the division. 2007, Mets had that big lead, then the collapse.
Yep.
And maybe at the time in 07, it was the thought of, okay, well, the Phillies just went on that one magical run. Maybe the Mets could get back to where they were supposed to be. But really, it was the Phillies surpassing the Mets.
Oh, yeah.
Not only coming back and that collapse,
yes,
but they blew by the Mets, and their core players were better than the Mets.
They won the World Series.
Mets never recovered. They won the World Series, the following year in 08,
yep,
right?
They beat the Rays in that series, and then they lost to the Yankees in 09. So they were with Utley, and they were terrific.
What happened in 07? I forget what happened in 2000. Was that the Red Sox again? Anyway.
Hold on. 07, go backwards.
But the Phillies won, right? The Phillies beat the Rays in 2008.
Yep. That was a young Longoria. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, but the point is the Phillies passed by the Mets, even though we thought the Mets were the dominant team, And now, where it was supposed to be the Phillies being the dominant team, won the division last year, I think the Mets have blown by them. Beating them last year in the postseason when it counts the most. Now in the regular season, it's not just two games. To your point, BT, it's more than that. It's last year, combined with these two games, combined with the way the Mets are playing, I do not think that the Phillies are a better team than the Mets. They have a bunch of talent. They're still dangerous. And look, maybe they win today and salvage the final game. But right now, the Mets are a buzzsaw, and I think they're as good or better than anybody else, at the very least in their own division.
And I don't feel like the Phillies are ascending anymore.
Yeah,
I feel like they're kind of, like, they're still highly viable. What's that?
They might have plateaued.
They might have. I mean, you know, I love Bryce Harper, but he's not a kid. Now, Bryce has still some big years left here, but he's not a kid. Turner's not a kid. Schwarber's not a kid. You know, I mean, it's Wheeler's not a kid. So I'm trying to figure something out, because the other thing about the Mets here that's just indisputable is whatever the heck they're doing in the lab, it's obviously working out well. And I think Griffin Canning might be the best example, because when they got him, we're like, what? You know, at least with like Severino last year, you could justify that, had some big years. And obviously Minaya was interesting when they got him. I don't love the Montas side. I don't expect much from him this year when he gets back healthy, but at least there were years where he was highly viable. You could say this guy, when he was on, he was really good. Strikeouts, whatever it might be. Canning was counter to that. So I'm looking, and I want to see if anything jumps out immediately. I won't spend too much time here, but all right. So he's thrown the slider more this year. Last year, he threw it 24%. This year, it's up to 36%. Last year, he threw the cutter 10.5%. This year, he's pretty much abandoned the cutter. So when you talk about, and I can't quantify it anything more than that because I'm not in the quote-unquote lab here, but you talk about pitch patterns and pitching backwards and getting rid of a pitch that's average and now just throwing a pitch that's a plus more, those are all things that apparently they are doing that are making these pitchers better.
Yeah, and we referenced the article earlier. Dave Lennon had a tremendous article on just that in Newsday. I recommend you check it out. But here's a quote from Ryan Stanek, who's been around with the Rays and the Astros, saying that this is the best that he's ever seen as far as the pitchers and their setup and their formula, all that different stuff. So
that's strong, pretty, dude.
That, when you talk that's about the Rays and the Astros, a guy who's been a part of those two teams who are known,
yes,
to excel in the sport for, yep, exactly what Stanek's talking about, saying that the Mets are the best that he's been around, that's saying something.
And I think they were known for two different reasons. Early on, the Astros were known as the pioneer for the RPMs, the revolutions, the spin rate. And obviously cheating, but like that was the Astros' entry into the new age analytical era, where the Rays may be a little tougher to substantiate, but just based on the evidence of them continuously pumping out stud after stud after stud after stud. So you draft them, you develop them, and then once he's too, he becomes too pricey, you have to let him go and you trade him. And there's many guys that, right, fit that criteria. It's like the Astros and the Rays were both very good at that, but they went about it two very different ways. So that's quite a compliment right there. I'm curious where it goes.
The exact quote from Stanek: "We're very fortunate that ownership in the front office here believes in having all the tools in the tool belt to help you be at your best. This is as good as anywhere I've ever been." Check that out. The Dave Lennon article from Newsday. And it's just one reference point, obviously, but we're seeing the numbers. On paper going in, I said, this is a brutal rotation. And yet here we are again. I didn't doubt Stearns. But, I mean, how could you not look at that rotation and be like, I don't know, out of the gate? Not only have they been serviceable, they've been the best rotation in Major League Baseball. And they're not, the Mets in general, are not even firing on all cylinders. It feels like that.
No, but so I don't think it feels that way. Well, I don't think it feels that way.
Well, they're 10 games over. They basically haven't lost at home. They're steamrolling everybody. So it feels like they're clicking on all cylinders because every aspect of the game is working good defensively. Manager's been good. Front office, ownership, fans have been great. You know, you get Alonso having a peak year, so the offense has been going well. Lindor off to a good start. You know, starting pitching, we mentioned it, the bullpen's been good, but there's still some ways to go, specifically with Soto and maybe even Vientos.
There's one more thing here. I know you guys are fired up to talk, and we'll get back to these calls here, BT and Sal. The challenge, I guess I'll put, the challenge that Steve Cohen issued to Met fans over the winter has obviously been well-received. They took them up on that. They're showing their gratitude for going it, bringing back Pete, getting Soto, doing the things they've done last year, his overall investment in the franchise, and they're showing up every night, which means to me that will be further rewarded before the trade deadline if and when there's a big acquisition to be had. Now, maybe Cohen would have done it anyway, but going out there and seeing 37,000, 38,000 people in April on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, which the Mets basically never have, you know, they are heeding the words of the owner, and that's going to, I would think, embolden him to go bonkers if there's somebody out there that he thinks puts him over the top.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. The other thing that we talked about is the NFL draft. Speaking of which, BT, Evan and Tiki live draft day show tomorrow at the American Dream. Check it out. It'll be at the Dream Bar, which is Court A, Level 2, 2 to 6:30 p.m. You got Evan and Tiki there ahead of what should be a very exciting, important draft. So join us for a special live broadcast of Evan and Tiki from the Dream Bar at American Dream ahead of day one of the 2025 NFL Draft. And we touched on this earlier. You mentioned some of the scathing quotes from an anonymous assistant head coach as it pertains to Shador Sanders. We also went off of the report yesterday that Peter Schrager had that the number two and three spots, the Browns and Giants, are fielding calls about a potential trade. And then Brian Baldinger today alluding very strongly to a blockbuster trade that will happen with one of those top five picks in the NFL draft, which leads to the speculation. And for me, the biggest thing is not Shador Sanders anymore. While he is a great talking point, it's Abdul Carter. Because that's the only way the Giants draft truly gets blown up is if Abdul Carter goes number two. Somebody trades up for him at two, or the Browns take him at two, then what for the Giants? I would not take Hunter. It's certainly way too early to take a quarterback. So in that, if that happens in that scenario, I would trade down if I'm the Giants. But if Abdul Carter is there, then you take him. Maybe you hope to get a quarterback later on, whether it's late first round, you trade back up, or in the early second round. But Abdul Carter, to me, in the number two pick, what the Browns do with that, that's the biggest key.
I think that's where it starts, and I think it's going to be bonkers tomorrow night. I think that these little smoke signals we're getting from people who are obviously connected and just do this for a living tells us that those phones are ringing, and eventually somebody's going to pick up and say, you have a deal. You know, now, listen, do I love Cam Ward? No, but I like him better than Sanders. Do I like Hunter? Yeah, I do. But I don't really know what he's best at. Maybe receiver. And if that's the case, and he's going to play, you know, a little nickel corner, whatever, certain packages, or if he's a defensive player first, some sub packages as an offensive player, is he going to be able to hold up physically? That's a question that I don't know the answer to. I think Abdul Carter is going to be a star. Will Campbell is somebody I'm like, hey, he might act, the offensive lineman from LSU. Yeah. He might slip to the Jets, although I think the Pats probably take him. But even him, and I don't want to sound like Mel Kiper here, but now the word on him, he's got some short arms, and they don't know if he can operate in space. Maybe kick him to the inside. And if you do kick him to the inside, you probably don't burn a top four pick on him. Giante, the running back, phenomenal player. The highlights look sick. Do you want to really do that top five? The Jaguars could. Armand Membu, the offensive tackle from Missouri. I wish the Jets could get him. I don't know if he'll be there. There's a couple of really good tight ends, starting with Tyler Warren, even Jalen Walker from Georgia. Like the plan. And then there's a couple of receivers and some secondary tight ends. Like what you, I think the Copeland's the other one that I think is pretty high. Like the Jets, that's more different than the Giants. The Jets will have to make this decision, I think, tomorrow. I think the Jets will have to decide between the second best offensive lineman or the best tight end. And if you're faced with that dilemma, I think then the secondary aspect there is you need to determine if the second best tight end is better than the second best offensive tackle. And if Membu is gone, all right, then I think you take the tight end. I think if Membu, because I don't think that the next tight end is good, nearly as good as Warren. I think if Membu is there, you take him, and then you take a tight end in round two.
The reason why I would not be opposed to the Jets taking the tight end, Warren, is because he's going to help in all aspects. It's not just an elite pass-catching tight end. It's somebody who's going to help in the run game. And to me, that would be valuable when you're trying to build a foundation here, a team that, you know, they're not going to be throwing the football a ton with Justin Fields down the field. He just can't do it. Mm-hmm. So I would like to have that. Now, I know you're not doing it just for this year, but it's a nice foundational piece to put in place where normally I'd be opposed to.
Like last year, you didn't think Bowers was good for the Jets.
I did not want Bowers.
I wanted him.
Yeah.
Now I'm happy they took Olu because it looks like a stud.
Well, and now, again, to your point, if it's the second best lineman, I'm never going to turn away from a lineman. But they just took one last year to do it again now this year.
Isn't that how you build a team?
Yeah,
they
I guess,
did it with Brick and they did it with Fergus with Nick Mangold.
Yeah, I know.
That's how you do it. I mean, even.
It doesn't always have to be the first round picks.
Well, true.
You can find these guys second, third round as well.
Yes, if you can make the determination that there are Now you probably get to like the fourth, fifth, and sixth best offensive lineman that you think you would have access to in round two, that you really don't think there's a massive drop-off from, you know, whether it's a Membu or some others. You can justify taking the tight end. It all depends on, it's subjective. I mean, if they think it's a very deep tight end crop, some do, well, then that shapes what you do in round one, vice versa. I would love them to take Membu. I just don't think he's going to be there. It's not sexy. You're not getting Membu jerseys. But if you have Olu Fashanu and Membu on the right side, by the way, he's a natural right side. He's not a left tackle you kick in. He's a right tackle who's played every snap at right tackle and grades out ridiculous. He's a beast. You now have the infrastructure to go forward with Fields or whatever quarterback you eventually.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Draft to me, and they already have the components to a pretty good defense. That's what I would do, but I don't know what they're thinking.
If he's there. Then yes. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Caesar is in Dallas, Texas. What's up, Caesar?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to talk about the Giants, what they should do. I really don't think that they can take a QB this year. I think that the time to take a QB was last year, and I personally wanted them to draft back into the first round and get Penix. They did not do that. You brought in Wilson. You brought in Winston. I think you got to ride with them and show improvement and improve the roster. And to me, there's been some talk about Chalk. He's 26. He's going to be developmental. He doesn't play for a couple of years. You're going to wait till he's 28 or 29 to play him. I think that's ridiculous. I think the move, honestly, is not Carter. It's Mason Graham. Teams ran all over us last year. We don't have anyone next to Dex. I think we're a better D line. If you keep Tibbs, you bring in Mason Graham, pair him with Dex on that line, and then Burns. I mean, I think you really got something there. And to me, you could, I know this is maybe getting cute and you don't want to do this in the draft, but I think you could also probably move down a couple picks and still get Mason Graham. And I think that helps you. That has more impact on your team than anything else you can do.
Go ahead, get these, finish up, bud. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I mean, that's really all I want to say on the draft. I do have a New York question. If you guys don't mind giving me a couple minutes at the end.
Well, a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm coming in for the Padres-Yankees series, and we're staying kind of near LaGuardia. I'm coming in with my girlfriend.
Okay.
I'm debating whether getting a car and driving around or taking public transportation.
Listen, I mean, it's a lose-lose. You want the honest answer, lose-lose.
I wouldn't be staying, honestly. I mean, I know you're staying where you're staying, but if you're going to come into the city and you want to explore the city,
yep.
I would not be staying near LaGuardia.
That's the first thing I was going to say. Yeah. At least now, listen, funds matter. I don't know what your budget is there, Caesar. If you can swing it staying somewhere in Manhattan, number one, you have more direct access to trains. Number one, it's a lot quicker going to the stadium from here than from Queens by LaGuardia. And there's really not much to do outside. I mean, yeah. I don't know what your budget is, so I got to stay in my lane here. But, you know, I mean,
but listen, the problem is,
if you rent a car and you don't know where you're going, and even if you do know where you're going, like us, it still sucks driving, number one. And, you know, public transportation's a mess right now.
I would take public transportation, but from LaGuardia, it's a pain in the neck. If you're going to do it, you want to be somewhere where you're closer to the Long Island Railroad or a subway to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
you think you're better off staying out, like out east?
Maybe, yeah. You're even better off staying by JFK because at least you know you could. For me, I've taken the subways there. LaGuardia, I've always, I think, driven there. I've never taken a bus or a train to get there. It's always you either got to drive there or take a car.
Mm.
But if you're staying there and that's where you could stay, then yes, take a car into the city or take a car to get you to the train, which you then take into the city, take the subways up to Yankee Stadium and back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you would do that. But that seems like a pain in the neck. The other stuff, you were very good on a lot of the draft stuff there. I don't necessarily disagree about Graham. If Carter's off the board at two, trading down, let somebody trade up to get Hunter at three. Trade down, take Graham, and then maybe you could use whatever you got to trade back up and take a quarterback. I'm sorry, BT.
Yeah.
One last thing.
Yeah,
the reason why I think it would be okay to, in the Giants' mind, for Shuck, let's say, is because they're not looking for a quarterback right now. Right or wrong, and I think it's wrong, they're looking for a quarterback eventually. So in their mind, Shuck might, next year, under their development, be totally different. Maybe he'd be worth a first-round pick next year under their development in their mind or in 2 years from now. They're not looking to start whatever quarterback they draft right now.
Oh, that's evident by the fact that they wanted Matthew Stafford, by who they went on. And that's not just Russell Wilson. It's also Jameis Winston. So I would agree with that. Listen, I think the move, everything that I've said about the Giants leading up to the draft has brought me to this one final destination. I'm going defense here. The Giants need an identity, and I think that they're a lot closer to having one that's rooted in defense than one that's rooted in offense, although they do have a few interesting pieces offensively. I think the Giants, and not just at the three pick or if they trade out, I think the Giants are one or two moves away from having like a lights out defense. I don't think they're that far from that. So I have brought up Mason Graham's name a lot. You would not take him at number three, way too high. But if you can go from three to, you know, anywhere from 8 to 11, and you play the draft board properly, and you got to be connected, you got to get the right intel, you got to read it right, and you still get somebody like Mason Graham as a defensive lineman, and you accrue some additional draft equity that you could maybe apply to a quarterback later in round one, that's a money move. I think that addresses everything that I think the Giants need to address. Get better, get somebody next to Dexter Lawrence, get a quarterback at some point, and let's play some defense. A challenge was issued.
Yeah, let's do it next week.
And now it's been ignored. I'm ready for it. Hasn't been going down.
Hasn't been ignored. A lot's got to go into it.
Been pushed to the side.
No. It has not been pushed to the side. Things are formulating. You brought it up. Was that earlier this week or last week?
I brought it up off the air. Yeah. That was last week that I brought it up earlier.
You came in Thursday. Hey, let's do that thing today. We're like, well,
it's going to take a little production time.
I mean, can you give us some time to put it together? And then this week we get the NFL draft. So maybe next week we will definitely have it, though. Don't worry. Song. We'll get that challenge.
She had another good song, too. It was slower. It was Laura Brad. She died really young, too.
Oh.
It was good.
53, she died. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Gloria Estefan, what was her popular song in the 80s? Did she have one?
The Miami Sound Machine, right?
Oh, maybe I just got it mixed up because of, Gloria.
Come on, ride the train, come ride a choo-choo?
No.
Isn't that Sheena Easton?
La Bamba. La Bamba?
No.
That was
La Bamba.
Yeah, La Bamba was a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that movie. Remember seeing that as a kid.
I saw it.
It was Soul Asylum who had Runaway Train, right, Huff?
Now, that's a good song.
Yes. Conga. That's her. That was
That song's horrendous. Oh, okay. Conga.
Don't recall.
That's where I draw the line.
All right, BT and Sal. Yeah, right.
Come on. I do.
Now, maybe.
I don't like it, I swear to God.
You weren't Conga in
Never
back
liked
then?
It. No, was not. I mean, listen, if I'm telling you I love Gloria, Laura Branigan, I'm going to man up to everything. I'm not shy of some of my eclectic, odd musical taste. I'll tell you the real.
Fair enough. All right, BT and Sal, all the fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the Mets. John is in Bayside. What's up, John?
Johnny.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are you?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
So a couple quick talking points. First off, the song was Rhythm Is Gonna Get You.
That one I like. There you go. Now you're talking. Yeah.
So just a couple quick things. To the guy in San Diego, stay in beautiful Bayside, Queens. You get all the New York culture you need. You'll be close to the Mets, City Field. Mm. And I just wanted to talk about two things. First off, the baby situation. Man, as a proud father of two happy, healthy, 2.5 and 6.5-year-old girls, I've got to say, when you use prestigious New York doctors, they test for everything. And a pregnancy could be nightmarish, even though everything is fine. Going up into things. So you look at guys like Verdugo, right? Who like had a baby in April of last year and sort of slumped in what would be the toughest months of being a new dad, I think. And then Judge, right before having a baby, playoffs happen, Now baby's out, a couple months in, hitting 4.11.
What about the other Octobers, though, where Judge was a little less than Judge?
Well,
no babies involved there.
I think they're amplified, but he did have some really good moments in the postseason in the past, just not as many.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
All right.
The only other thing I wanted to say, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I'm not a Met hater. The guys in my group chat that are Met fans,
you're
going to
become
haters,
one soon if they keep winning.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was going to say is one of my smarter baseball friends, Dr. Michael Duggan, he works at both stadiums, he pointed out something in the past to me and said, the teams that end up in the World Series are the teams that have the most runs scored on the season. So the only thing that I would say about the Mets right now, they're in the lower half of baseball for runs scored. They have great
pitching.
Well,
you're not talking
right
about
now.
Run differential. You're talking about just straight up, volume of runs scored.
Exactly.
Well, where are they at with runs allowed?
That's a good question.
I know the answer.
Are they first?
Number one.
They're number one. See, but what about
fewest runs allowed? Yeah, and John,
thank you very much. But like Sal, what about all the years where the Yankees would score a ton of runs?
Yeah.
Lead baseball that a run scored and didn't make the World Series.
Yeah, I would not look at that. I think the differential is a great barometer. Then what does that mean come postseason in a best of 5-game series or best of 7-game series? Nothing. I mean, what was the Phillies? Go back to last year if you can, going into the postseason. Phillies run scored versus the Mets run scored.
I got
scored.
It all for you. Ready?
You have last year?
I got it all. Last year. Yep, yeah. I got last year. So last year, I'll start with a few interesting things here. Yankees were plus 147.
Differential?
Yep.
Okay.
Total different. By far the highest in the American League. The next closest, by the way, was 91. So they had plus 50 change. All right, now in the NL, the Phillies were plus 113.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves were plus 97. The Mets were plus 71.
Well, okay, run scored. Give me the Phillies versus the Mets.
Okay, run scored. The Phillies scored 784. The Mets scored 768. Basically a push.
Not that far, yeah.
Just the Mets gave up more runs. Now, the Brewers, who are obviously a different team, although they're winning again, they were plus 136 last year. The Dodgers were ridiculous, plus 156. Padres plus 91. Diamondbacks plus 98.
Yeah, so, and by the way, so the point about this year, as I'm looking at it now, run scored for the Mets, 101. Run scored for the Phillies, 108. Run scored for the Braves, 88. Runs allowed, Mets 66. Phillies, 111. Braves, 103. dude, 66. The Padres have the second, and they're at 68. Outside of that, Dodgers over 100. Giants are at 94. Reds are at 95. This is runs allowed now. We're talking about the fewest runs allowed in the sport. Astros, 80. Rangers, 86. I mean, almost Yankees, 105, just to give you their thing. Rays, 91. 66. The Mets are at 66. Mets and Padres. Not a coincidence that the two teams with the best record in the sport, both 17-7. Padres are 12-1 at home. The Mets are 11-1 at home. Both teams have a plus 35 differential. Both teams have few runs allowed. The Mets 66, Padres 68.
Well, now I'm going to contrast this to specific Yanks and Mets here. Okay. So you go for this year. All right, both have played 24 games, so it's easy analysis there. Yanks have 132 runs scored. Now, a lot of that came in the first series, but still, whatever. I mean, there's
it counts,
some.
Yeah.
And the other teams, I'm sure they've had similar circumstances, maybe where they had a big series but or a bad series. Conversely, Yanks 132. The Mets have scored 101. So you're talking about just about plus 30 the Yankees way. But now you get to runs against. Yanks have given up 105. The Mets have given up 66. So that's about plus 45 or so the Mets way. So it really depends what you want to lean on. They both played 24 games. The Mets have 17 wins. The Yankees have 14. But yet the Yankees have a ton more runs scored. So that would contradict what the last caller said, that generally that leads to better results. Although you don't know if the Yankees aren't going to make the World Series, but just in terms of having a better record in totality, the fact that the Mets have given up fewer runs, that's given the Mets a better record.
And it's not just the Mets. So my point, it's also the Padres, both the same format, and they both have the best records in baseball. Then I would just ask you, and by the way, to each their own, the doctor, whatever he was talking about, can value runs scored. You could value runs scored. Somebody else could value runs allowed. I do look at the differential as being the biggest. It's just an easy way, whether it's the NFL, points for, points against, whether it's baseball, it's just an easy way to see how dominant or how consistent a team can be in certain areas.
I do that as well, but like if you're a good team in a very bad division, like let's say the American League Central, which is becoming more competitive. Tigers are pretty good this year, and we thought they would be. Guardians, obviously, pretty good. Twins are scuffling. White Sox stink. Royals have a rough start as well. But let's say if that had a powerhouse team. Let's say if the Padres, just for this, even though geographically it makes no sense, they were in the American League Central. Well, their run differential would be much more positively impacted because you're playing the White Sox and the Royals, who don't score a lot. So it wouldn't necessarily reflect their ceiling. It's more circumstantial on the amount of teams that they play that are a little less than average. Whereas in the NL East, which we thought would be a little bit better than it has been so far, Mets aside, you know, like the Phillies are supposed to be really good. The Braves were supposed to be really good. You would think that you would be penalized by being in that division by having and the subsequent result would be a lower run differential because you're playing better teams that could pitch better and hit more.
There is, to use your word, nuance to it. To your point about that, think about the records versus the differential, right? I'll give you a couple of examples here. The Dodgers, 16-8, very good record. One of the best records in baseball. Differential, only plus 9.
Is that it?
Yeah, only plus 9 for the Dodgers.
Plus nine.
They've scored a bunch of runs, plus they've scored 110 runs. They've allowed 101 runs. So, okay, is that a barometer for the Dodgers? I don't know, but think about, I'll give you a team that has a plus 5 differential right there with the Dodgers, but their record's 10-14, and that would be the Cardinals. So those two teams specifically would show you that the differential does not mean anything in their particular case because they have a four-run or four-point, whatever you want to say, four-run disparity between differential.
Uh-huh.
And yet the records are, you know, 6 games difference.
Well, and listen, we could probably play this game all day. Right, that's why I strongly reference nuance. Like, to me, to not incorporate nuance, now sometimes you can't. You just got to get from point A to point B. But you're talking about something like this, I think it's almost irresponsible not to. So those are good examples. And I'll give you one that kind of fits what you're saying. You look at the American League East, the Tampa Bay Rays have a positive run difference. They're plus 4. And the two teams in front of them, the Orioles and Toronto, are both negatives, minus 27 and minus 14. So there's only, and the Red Sox are flat out 0. So there's only two teams in the American League East with a positive run differential. One is in first place and one is in last.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So sometimes it doesn't add up.
By the way, you want the Mets lineup before we get going?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. We got Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo in the 4 spot. Listen, I said Soto's going deep today. No such predictions for Nimmo. Vientos, Winker, Taylor, and Beatty. Senger behind the plate. Peterson, 1-1 with a 3.27 ERA on the hill. Lefty.
Now, you got to get Soto to go deep because you said he was going to hit a home run on this homestand, right?
I also did say that. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm going off his swings last night.
Okay.
Hit the ball pretty hard a few times.
All right, yep. Looking for his 4th-and-a-half home run this year, obviously. Soto stuck on 3.5. BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. The Yanks will be looking to avoid the sweep, of course, in Cleveland. Mets will be looking to sweep at Citi Field here and sweep away the Phillies, which would be a nice early season statement here. And obviously the draft is going to be front and center. I cannot wait to see what happens. We get the Knicks tomorrow night as well. But, you know, last year it felt a little different. I shouldn't say that. In the postseason series, I was really intense with the Knicks and Sixers.
Yes.
And that was the priority. This year, I do feel like I'm more into the draft than maybe I was a year ago.
Okay.
And I forget the exact situation with the draft last year, but obviously the Jets and Giants. No, wait. Yeah.
Jets took Fashanu.
Okay, what pick did they have? 13 or something like that? 10?
I forget. Maybe 11, but I could be off. Something like that.
And the Giants were where? Giants had Neighbors with 6. Okay.
6.
But this year, I'm more into it. Maybe it's the combination of higher picks. Maybe it's the quarterback situation with the Giants. Maybe it's just the speculation with Carter or the trades. I feel more interested in the draft this year. However, it is still the Knicks postseason. And maybe the reason why I'm obviously locked in the Knicks postseason, but last year with the Sixers, it was, I don't know, you know, Philadelphia.
It's a different energy.
Yeah. And now it's like, okay, well, they're expected to win. This is not a heated rival here. This is a series where the Knicks are expected to win. They're favorites. I know that it's tied at a game apiece, and I'll certainly be locked into it, but I feel like my energy is shifting more toward excitement for the draft than it is even for game 3 tomorrow night.
That's an interesting observation or feeling. I'm trying.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes. which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Let's see if I share it. I think right now I feel that way. I don't think I'll feel that way tomorrow night once the Knicks game start. A part of my diminished, use the word enthusiasm, and I know Knicks fans they haven't loved what I've been saying this year, and I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you what I feel. And unfortunately, what I felt has not been great all year. And I think that certainly impacted my ability to enjoy the season. Like, you would think you win 50 games a year ago, you make round two, you probably win round two if guys don't go down with injuries, like dropping like flies like the Knicks did. Even though they probably would have gotten smoked in the next round, it could have been should have been a conference championship appearance. And then you make these multiple big moves to add to that and the foundation, and then you win 51 games. And like, I feel like the Knicks aren't vying for a championship. I've said that over and over. And listen, I didn't think they were going to win it last year either. But like, the ascent is always like that first initial step is always full of energy. I think I've been more critical, and I think I've dissected the Knicks differently this year, which has taken away from my enjoyment. Now, that's a me problem. Not everybody shares that, but I can promise tomorrow night in Detroit, and that place is going to be popping. Recording the draft, it's all Knicks.
Yeah, it's postseason, obviously. Postseason basketball series, so they're so valuable. It's so rare for the Knicks, so I get it. It's not that I'm not interested in it. It's that I guess my excitement level, if I had to rank an excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10 for the NFL draft tomorrow versus where I'm at for game 3 of the Knicks,
yep,
I would go I'm at a 10 or 9.5, 10 for the draft, where I'm at probably an 8. 8.5 for the Knicks.
Okay. Now, I think part of that is circumstantial. I would imagine, like, if the Giants had the 12th pick.
Different story.
And the Jets, if the Jets still had the 7th. But the fact, this conversation, which began months ago, specific to this draft here, started with a quarterback. So anytime any of our teams might take it, even though we don't think either team taking it, with the first pick, certainly not Shedeur Sanders at 3, it just adds a depth of intensity to it. Like, Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones, bad picks, whatever, aside, the energy that we expend on quarterback talk is always interesting. Now, you talk about a potential trade, Giants moving from 3, Jets maybe moving back at 7, positions that could really fortify the future. And for me, from a Jets perspective, I'm just really excited with the new regime, and I don't think they're incredibly far away from being on the outskirts of the wild card if everything goes well. And with the Giants, it's the last year in all probability for this regime. And do they eventually take a quarterback? There's just a lot of storylines around this draft.
Rank it. What would be your excitement level?
Well, I would say right now, that's why I prefaced it before with, like, right now it's the draft. Tomorrow will be the Knicks. Tomorrow, it will be close. Tomorrow, I'll be 10 out of 10 for the Knicks. When the Knicks play a playoff game, there's nothing else I'm going to watch. That's number one. Number two, I would say the draft is also a 10. Or even a 9.5. But the difference is that I am more okay with... I also get to watch the first hour before the Knicks start. But I can record a draft.
The draft starts what time? 7 o'clock? The Knicks start 7.
I think there's an hour lag. I think it's 8 o'clock.
Oh, it is
an
8 o'clock?
Hour. I'm pretty sure,
that'd be
nice.
Then maybe we get everything in.
Yeah. And now, I've done this before where I've recorded elements of the draft and I've watched it, whether it's the NBA draft and I want to watch some of the
tip
Yankee stuff, whatever
now?
It might be.
Yeah.
Tips at 7?
No. You sure about that, Hoff?
I could be wrong. I thought there was an hour difference. Either way. Yeah. I am much more okay. I'll double check that too, but I'll take your word for it, Hoff, here. I think that I would much rather record a draft and go through that than record a game. Like, I can't miss action in a game. Not that I don't do it on a night to night, like Yankees, Mets.
But that's what I'm saying.
A playoff game.
But that's what I'm saying in this case. Look, I get it. Knicks playoff game, I'm as into that as anybody else. So it would normally be a 10. But in comparison to the draft, me personally, I'm more excited to see what happens in the draft than I am just a game 3 in a best of 7 against a team I fully expect the Knicks to beat. Doesn't mean I'm not going to watch it, every possession of it, which I will. It just means I'm more, whereas last year was the complete opposite. It was the draft was kind of an afterthought for me. Last year, I would say I was at a 5 with the excitement level of the draft. A 5 as a comparison to 10 with the Knicks. Now I'm 9.5, 10 with the draft, 8.5, 9 with the Knicks.
By the way, I had it flipped. There is definitely an hour difference, but the Knicks start at 7. The draft is at 8. So I thought it was actually, I said the other. I think I said the other way. I'd rather it be the other way. Me too, because now it's going to be hard to be into every possession game 3 of the Knicks.
While all hell's breaking loose with the Jets and Giants.
Yes, I would rather just almost ignore, honestly, what I would, if it was the other way, which I thought it was, I would have ignored the draft up until the Knicks got to halftime. Not looked. I'm very capable of doing this. I'm not incessantly looking at my phone. I could effectively put the phone down, not touch it, watch the first two quarters of the Knicks and the Pistons, if I had this ability, but it's flipped. And then halftime, keep recording the Knicks, bang, go to NFL, zip through the first pick or two, and then obviously get to the Jets and the Giants. But we're not going to have that option, so
it's 2025.
A little different.
It's 2025. Get into the habit of watching multiple things at the same time.
Not my thing. I have been doing that for a very long time. The only thing I do it with now is Mets Yanks.
I don't even do that.
Yeah.
I just go back and forth. I'm recording both easy, and I'm going back and forth.
It's easier the way that I have it because on the app I could just have both up at one time and then, you know, you could easily see with the pitch what you want to see. Click over to the other one, maximize that, have the sound, go back and forth. So I could do that.
Yep.
But it's tough to really watch one game if you have both on.
Correct.
The reason why you can't do that, you cannot do it with the draft and the Knicks is because the draft is a different story. You could just kind of have it on and listen to it. But this draft is intriguing because of the trade possibilities, what the Giants are going to do. I'll pause the Knicks.
You will?
Once the Giants are on the clock.
You will?
Yeah, why not? I want to hear what's going on.
What if the Knicks are down by 11 and they're getting their brains beaten on the backboards again? And you're like,
pause it for 10 seconds or whatever to see the Giants make the pick. I don't want to go on social media and have anything ruined for me with the pick.
I'm not going to touch my phone, like I said.
I want to watch and enjoy the excitement and unknown about whether they're going to trade down, who they're going to select. I'm into it. And by the way, you don't even know what this draft. That's why it's intriguing is because could the Jets trade down? Who will they select? Will the Giants trade back in?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even just like, okay, well, the Jets are done. Giants made their pick at number 3. Jets made their pick at 7. Forget about it. No, this is the NFL draft. This is a big one.
I'm aware.
Why did they schedule a damn Knick game the same night?
You guys are missing out, by the way.
I've even
included gaming while I'm watching ball games.
Well, that's not true.
That's not true. Hold on. I have my 7-year-old wants to play MLB The Show, so we have that.
25?
Yes.
By the way, it's awesome.
It is amazing.
What are those games run now, like 65 bucks?
60, I think.
Well, that's if you don't get the package, which I did. I got like 120 bucks for a video.
Well, you download whatever you want?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it's this game, this show with 25 is sick.
All right. But I have that. I have 3 big screens. I have one in the middle of the video game, and I have Yankees on one side, and I got Mets on the other side.
Nah, I can't watch stuff like that. Listen, I am honest enough to admit that just the way my mind works, if I'm watching multiple things, in essence, I'm watching nothing. I'm really not absorbing things the way I want to absorb them.
Right.
That does happen
1,000%.
And I don't let it happen. Like, I want to hear O'Neill and Cone talk about certain at-bats. I want to hear Keith and Gary talk. Like, listen, I've referenced already today, like, 3 different things that was said in the Met booth last night. If I'm watching both, one muted, both muted, playing a game, which I would never do all 3 at once, then I'm really not getting, nothing's registering. Now, if I'm not a talk show host, maybe I could do that, but I don't watch the Jets and the Giants that way on Sunday.
Yeah.
I got one big TV, and I'm locked in, and I am adept enough at recording and bouncing and going back and forth.
Yeah, but then if you record both the Jets and Giants or both the Mets and Yankees, it's going to take you double the time.
But why would I have to record both? I'm going to watch one at you know, what do you mean, both?
Well, okay, but then
Unless I'm out, you know.
All right, but then let's say you watch the Yankees in real time.
Yep.
Then you got to go back and watch the Mets.
I don't do it that way. So now, granted, it's been a little bit easier. And by the way, I would sign up for this every day. Like the Yankees first pitch at 6:05 or the Mets first pitch at 6:05. You get an hour.
That's
what I'm saying. So it's been a little bit easier. I'm not, you know, it is a little more complicated.
Jets and Giants both at 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
Which happens a lot. Now, generally, both teams are trash. And I just like, I'm going to watch my team first. And then I'll get to the other loser team after my team sucks again.
That's where I go to the 4-game grid, none of which include the Jets.
But like, so I will record both, right? And you got to understand, like, kids are off this week. So this is the only week, no games, no practices, nothing. So usually I'm walking in, you know, 8:30, 9, some like whatever. So I know that I've already recorded Yes and SNY. Now, I won't watch the whole Yankee game and then watch the whole Met game. I will watch 2 innings of the Yankees. And if I see nothing that's interesting, I'll zip by and then I'll go over to SNY. I'll hit rewind. I'll start from the first pitch. And if I happen to check my phone and I know, now I'm not saying I never cheat. Like, I admit that.
Yeah.
If I see, if I look at my phone and I see fourth inning, 0-0, Mets and the Cardinals, or Mets and the Phillies, am I watching every pitch? No, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not.
Right.
Or if I see like a three spot in the Yankee game, I mean, I'm going to be inclined to watch them more because I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm going to, like, if the Mets score four runs or they give up four runs, I'm going to say, okay, let me start this inning where they scored or gave up four and go through every mechanical aspect of this inning, and that's how I'll consume it.
Yeah.
But that works for me.
Hoff, what's your excitement level for the draft versus the Knicks tomorrow night for game three?
You don't care about the Knicks.
No, I'm going to be more into the Knicks. What are you talking about?
You don't. You do.
I'm watching it. I watched the Knicks the other day, too.
What's your scale of one to ten?
I got to be honest with you. The draft is going to come and go. I'm not going to really pay attention. The Knicks are
Executive producer of the Giants radio broadcast.
But what does that have to do with anything? I'm still They're not playing. They're not playing a game. They're gonna call some guy up. I'm gonna be like, okay, cool, and that's it.
Come on, you gotta be locked in.
I'm gonna be locked in. I'm more excited for the Knicks.
Wow, I'm shocked at that answer.
Why?
Good for you.
The Giants. I'm not too happy hearing this.
No.
What does that have to do with anything?
But like, what if Casillas? Who else do you work? Casillas. Who else do you work with?
Schmel.
What if these guys are texting you for information? You're the producer.
I'm gonna be watching it. You guys are going to ask me for information. I'm going to give it to you.
Texting him for information. They should be, texting them for information.
They're going to text him. I'm in the third inning of the show with my boy Ant here. I'll get back to you, Schmel.
By the way, BT, your philosophy on TVs is like Mike's philosophy on quarterbacks back in the day.
What?
When you have two quarterbacks, you have none. It's changed, bro.
No, it hasn't changed for me.
It's completely changed.
That's changed for you.
No, it's changed.
It will never change for me. Never.
I will do.
I will remain a dinosaur in that regard happily.
By the way, there are times now, too, where the iPad comes in handy.
Now.
So for me, if my wife wants to watch a show, she's like, oh, can we watch this show tonight? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then on the iPad, I'll have the Mets or the Yankees or whatever, or the Knicks, something like that. Now,
with the volume up while you're trying to watch the show with wife?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So
up enough to where I could follow what's going on. Now, playoffs is a different story. No, I mean,
I know you do. I'm not criticizing you. You do what you do. But then, Huff, what are you criticizing me for? This is the method that works for me.
I'm just saying there's an easier way to do it.
I think it's harder.
I don't know. I do it successfully every night. At least I feel like that. I have multiple TVs on, whether it's baseball, basketball, whether it's the NFL draft. I'm going to watch everything all at once. Yes.
I think more people now are in line with that.
Oh, I agree. I think more people do what he does. It's just not for me.
Right.
And I can always rewind if I miss something. Like, oh, what just happened right there? I'll rewind it and go back. You have the capability to do that.
You're old school. That's all right.
But it's not that old school. You make it seem like I'm watching it with rabbit ears and tin foil, and I got one. I got a lot of TVs in my house.
You ask Colt, "Hey, Colt, can you get off the couch and go push the channel up a little?"
Used to make me do. Come on, get Connor's corner off that. Can we get Phil on channel 11? Enough of this nonsense. Mets lost again. It's 1981.
Good
they
God.
Stink.
Can you imagine living life without a TV remote?
You know what? Yeah, there was more conversation. There was less stress. It was cheaper. Yeah, I could actually.
Yeah, might not be bad to go back there, like Tony Soprano. Outside, it's 1999. In here, it's 1950.
That's a great line.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.